And we're back to Talk Airplane. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and we're working with the door open. We're trying to get our next guest.
Well, our next guest is making his way in here. We have to give him a little extra time.
Yep. Ron Scott, come on down.
Hello there.
All right, Mr. Ron, how are you?
Green one.
Man, you don't really want to know.
Uh-oh. Sure we do. That's why we're here.
That's why we brought you down
here.
The
further adventures of Ron Scott.
Yep.
So thanks for coming down and joining us, Mr. Ron. How are you?
Thank you for the opportunity to...
Anytime. If anybody doesn't
come
know,
down and visit your fine digs here.
Our establishment. Check out these soft, fuzzy walls we have now.
I see those. Yes, very nice.
To damp out all the bad words. Also, if for people who don't know, Ron Scott is the chairman, I guess that's the official title, of the Green Gang, or the communications group that do all the radios on the field, the phone systems, the PA, us. You're our patron saint. And you've been around Oshkosh since, like, the Wright brothers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
He was there the day after the Wright brothers flew.
They credited me with 48 years, you see, but they won't give you the 49th until you complete the 49th. If I walked home today, then I wouldn't get credit, see?
Would. See how difficult it
next
gets?
Next year would be my 50th.
Wow.
If I'm still...
You'll be here, don't
if
worry.
If I'm still above the sod, you
you'll
know.
You'll be here. We'll drag you.
You think so? Yeah,
that's right.
We'll see.
We'll keep you alive. We know people
this
in the life support
Oshkosh,
business.
Man. We can motorize your hospital bed and drag you out.
Can you really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of resuscitation.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. We'll even make it up to date. It'll be composite carbon fiber glass
there
cockpit with a turbine engine.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Fancy hospital bed.
Glass cockpits, yeah. I'm still using steam gauges, and most of them I bought at the flea market in Rockford back in the 60s.
They still work.
For half a buck a piece, you know. Oh, they still work fine, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I thought that airplane had a glass cockpit. Windows.
Windows. That's got windows in it. You can see out of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good enough.
I have to replace them every now and then because they get a little scuzzy, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Wisconsin National Bird.
A noteworthy thing. Two years ago, I finally gave in and put a starter on the airplane.
You're kidding.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I think I added 14 pounds, so then I made a pact with myself, since I don't like weight in an airplane, that I would go on a diet. And,
did it work out?
Actually, yeah, and it took me 2 years. I dropped to 14. Now, this year, I'm up here, I think I've gained about 5 or 6 back so far.
It's all those brats.
It's only day one.
Brats and... Yeah, it's hard for us young fellas.
Now, let's talk about that airplane, because that airplane has the distinction. I believe you claim it is the first composite aircraft?
Not really composite. Well, I always like to say successful, because it's been flying 40 years now. But I think I can say this with some authority, that it is the first home-built to use fiberglass in a skin-stressed mode structurally.
Wow.
In other words, to say that, you know, there's no internal, for instance, the wings, no internal drag, anti-drag, compression bracing, all the torsional loads and everything taken in the skin itself. And same with the rest of the airframe. And there's only a few ribs in the stabilizer and the fin and that stuff. Then it also has fiberglass landing gear, which I made 42 years ago, I guess.
There must have been a lot of resistance to those ideas when you built that.
Very much so. I could tell you a lot of stories. Back in the day, back in the 60s, when I, 61 is when I first started volunteering at Rockford. And we had a room on a wing. The EA rented a little wing of Howard Johnson, I think it was. And three of us communications guys had one room. And right next to our room was Paul and Audrey. And we had some really crazy hall parties out there.
Oh, I can imagine.
The old guys, Nick Resichin and Bob Lijak and all the old jabronis, you know. And at any rate, one evening out there, and Paul invited some of us in. There was only a few guys there. All the aviation greats were there, though, you know. So I'm just a young kid, and I'm listening, you know. Pretty soon the level of conversation diminished a bit, and in a small little voice, I said, "Well, I'm building an airplane." Ray Stitz was there. Ray turned around and said, "Whose plans are you using?" "Well," I says, "I'm designing it myself." "And what's your background? You're an aeronautical engineer?" And I said, no. I said, "I work for a telephone company."
Oh, jeez.
And, man, then he asked me, when he found out I was making out of fiberglass, he about went berserk. he sat me down on the bed, on Ponari's bed there, and he began to run me up and down like a Dutch uncle, you know. Man, you use somebody's plans, and you build it just exactly like those plans say, and then after you get that done and it is successful, then just maybe you can go out and design an airplane yourself, you know. So I kind of pulled my head in, you know, and tail. And as time went on, and we moved to Oshkosh, and I got to know Ray a little better, and we never said anything about the airplane. So it was in the early 70s, and we were staying at Howard Johnson's then, went down to have a little breakfast, and there was Ray sitting at the counter, you know. And so we saddled up inside of Ray in there and started yakking a little bit, and finally he says, well, Scotty, how's Ironsides flying? And I said, well, real great, Ray, you know. And got, I don't know, 35 hours on or something at the time, 40, I don't know. And, he says, yeah, that's great. And I thought, and I said, Ray, you know, I'm sure you don't remember this, but back in the early 60s, you sat me down in the bed and told me why I should not build this airplane because I wasn't qualified and I was building all this goofy material that wasn't proven and it was just for boats and all that sort of thing, you know. And I rattled on to him, and he pretty soon looked at me and he says, well, Scotty, he says, what would you tell some young snot-nosed kid coming around today that's got all these goofy ideas? And, you know, what would you tell him? You know? I said, yeah. Well, you may be right. You know?
Yeah, good point. But I'm sure he was won over by your success.
Well, now that I hear that he's telling a story, and I was some 14-year-old kid, not the way he tells a story, you know. So.
Well, then you must have been one smart 14-year-old kid. You were ahead of the curve.
I don't know about that. Built a lot of models as a kid, designed a lot of models, too. It's not a whole lot different. Yeah. Built one in scale model first and used balsa to plank everything instead of first class.
And you just thought the same way, bigger balsa.
Bigger balsa, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the correlation between model aircraft and full scale, is that nowadays especially, they will make scale models of them for wind tunnel testing, mm-hmm. as well as also RC models. I've heard of more than one airplane that was test flown as a radio control model plane.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot cheaper than building a prototype.
That's true.
Well, when are they going to build the full-size Predator?
Who knows?
We'll see, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Somebody sit inside the thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's the ultimate radio control aircraft.
That's right.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
So changes you've seen around the ground over the years, it's just amazing, huh?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's hard to believe. We were talking the other day, when we first came here, we had a bunch of poles, telephone poles, along the side of the road, going, you know, Whitman Road. And west of the road, it was all cornfields. So there was nothing, actually, on the west side of that road. And we eventually got the little campground that was in where the theater in the woods is right now and that stuff. And that's when the Horny Owls, they started dumping those guys out down in Rockford. Don Stewart started that up, and you had to stay up all night, drink beer, and sing.
Oh, boy.
And if you saw the sun come up with those guys, then you got a little patch, a little Horny Owl patch. And when I was on a board back in the 70s, why, each board member had to be OD for the night, you know, stay up all night and everything. And it was always hard to keep these guys down, because guys camping around making a lot of noise, you know, and then, you know, security'd come down and all that stuff. So I sat with them all night, you know, and then you get a little loud and unruly, you know. Hey, are you guys, you know, just, you know, cool it down a little bit. I never did get a patch either.
I was going to say, where's the patch?
Never did get one from old Donnie Stewart.
Go down there and get them. I'm sure there's still some down there.
You know, he designed the Foo Fighter and several airplanes over the years. Headwind lives up in the, he's a Youper now, up in the UP.
Oh, that's where Youper came
Peninsula.
From.
Yeah.
No, you don't know about the Youpers, huh?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, see, I married one. A Youper, and then Zani Fritchie, you know, he heads up Aeroshell Square over here. His wife used to be Tom's secretary years ago, Shirley. And she's also a Youper. So, you know, we have Youper jokes. Things like
yeah.
that going
yeah.
for.
We have Pennsylvania jokes, too.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, we're a bunch of coal crackers.
Yeah. I've heard some of those.
Well, it's good to be back. Day one?
Yeah.
This place never ceases to amaze me.
This year, there have been some significant changes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys went nuts with all the communication cables and everything that were torn up and relayed and put here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, we finally got you guys on the air because we lost about 900 feet of cable going around here.